From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. For the first time in over a week, Petersburg's active COVID-19 case count dropped yesterday. Petersburg's Emergency Operations Center reported 56 active cases on Monday. That number reflects two new cases reported on Monday and nine people who are listed as recovered. The community hit a peak of 63 active cases on Saturday and Sunday, according to the latest figures from the EOC. Petersburg will remain on high risk, red level, for the next week, and that will be reassessed on Monday, March 8th. In a press release yesterday, local health officials thanked businesses for taking steps to slow the spread. Many closed for the past week or changed to telephone service or takeout only. The EOC is asking residents and businesses to continue with health precautions to keep numbers declining. And in related news, for the past year, Alaska officials have ceaselessly reminded residents of the importance of COVID-19 mitigation measures like masking and social distancing. What happens when those guidelines aren't followed? Ask residents of Cordova, the Prince William Sound fishing town that's experiencing a COVID-19 outbreak right now. As Nat Herz with Alaska Public Media reports, the story starts with the police chief returning from an out-of-state trip, and it ends with 10% of residents in quarantine.
Susie Hirschleb is Cordova's Parks and Rec director, and she says the COVID-19 pandemic has forced a really delicate balance between staying open for local sports enthusiasts and upholding public health mandates. So she was not pleased when she learned a wrestling practice fueled a big COVID outbreak.
I was absolutely devastated to have been in my position and having to modify everything we do. When I found out that somebody risked that, I was extremely upset.
The coach at the wrestling practice wasn't just anyone either. It was Cordova's police chief, who had just returned from an out-of-state trip and chose not to quarantine. Officials say it appears participants at the wrestling event weren't wearing masks either. Then cases appeared at Cordova's schools and businesses had to close. A U.S. Coast Guard cutter even had to abort a mission when some of its crew were identified as close contacts. In total, there were some 200 close contacts in the 2,000-person town.
It absolutely is astonishing how quickly you can see that ripple effect.
Dr. Hannah Sanders is chief executive of Cordova's hospital.
I think one of the most amazing things of this recent case is that we see everybody has felt very isolated this year because of COVID, and we just see how interconnected we all are.
The actions of the police chief, who didn't respond to a request for comment, have prompted intense social media debate in Cordova, along with some humorous memes. He's on a week-long paid administrative leave right now, but some in town are calling for his resignation or firing. City Manager Helen Howarth says state travel mandates expired before the chief returned from his out-of-state trip, and while he did break rules that city employees social distance after traveling, Howarth adds that Cordova residents have already done plenty to punish him.
It is yet to be determined what the consequences are going to be, but we're not cutting off anyone's head. Quite frankly, the social media has done a plenty good job of flogging. I think I would much rather be disciplined by my supervisor than the court of public opinion.
While roughly a third of Cordova residents have already received at least one dose of vaccine against COVID-19, officials there say the recent outbreak is a painful reminder to Alaskans of the lingering threat that the virus still poses, and how quickly a single person's actions during a pandemic can affect an entire community.
It just takes one individual indiscretion for everything to just fall apart. And I think that's the lesson that we all need to learn about this. It's like, it doesn't matter how many precautions you have in place. It requires people to be personally responsible, and it doesn't take much.
Others note Cordova's experience comes with some encouraging lessons, too, particularly with its schools. There were 8 students from the wrestling event that went into 7 classrooms while they were potentially contagious. But after roughly 110 students were tested, there was no evidence of school-based spread, suggesting that the district's regimen of social distancing, mask wearing, and hand washing is functioning as designed. Here's Sanders, the hospital executive.
The mitigation strategies do seem to work, and when we follow them, we stomp this out. And I have every reason to believe that this is contained here in Cordova right now.
Officials say there have been roughly 24 cases as a result of the outbreak, but no hospitalizations so far. They're still waiting for testing results to see if one of the new extra contagious strains of COVID-19 was responsible. In Anchorage, I'm Nat Herz.
In other news, a new musical project led by Nicholas Galanin has signed with legendary Sub Pop Records. KNBA's Trip Krause talks with Galanin and bandmate Zach Wass about their latest album.
Close the Distance is the first single off the debut album for Yatsine, the latest project from Otis Calvin III, Zach D. Wass, and Yael Yatsine, Nicholas Galanin. Yatsine is a nod to Galanin's name.
The Tlingit title, Yatsine, which is be alive, translation. For me, using Tlingit language and language is always something that's really important. It's such a core of our ways of being and thinking, and so always trying to implement or engage it with language when I can, even though I'm not, you know, I'm not a speaker of the language, but I'm always a student.
Galanin, who's Tlingit and Anunga, also works as a carver, engraver, and visual artist. He's based in Sitka, Alaska. Like Galanin, musician and guitarist Wass also lives and works in Sitka. Wass works summers commercial fishing with his father and works on music and projects in the off season.
We're excited about this new album, and it's been a long time coming. And Nick really put a lot of work in on the album this time around, and it's really above and beyond anything that we've ever done before. So it's really cool.
On February 10th, Sub Pop announced the label had signed Yatsine. Formed in 1986, the label gained a reputation for signing keystone Seattle grunge bands like Nirvana and Soundgarden. Its current roster includes Fleet Foxes and the Postal Service. Though the two didn't know it at the time, Wass and Galanin had personal relationships with Sub Pop co-founder Jonathan Poneman, and those connections sparked the project that would eventually become the studio album, Galanin says.
You know, the legendary, right? Jonathan, who is co-founder of the label, who's we've been working pretty closely with, continuing on this project from the, you know, very beginning, has really, I think, been wonderful to work with and provide us with quite an opportunity. They'll always have a deep-rooted history in music history. So to have Indigenous artists in this space even, I think, is incredible and necessary, because I don't think that I've seen too many Indigenous artists in these places.
The group worked previously under the name Indian Agent. Work on the latest album began about 3 years ago while Galanin was carving a pole in Juneau. Beside his frequent bandmates, Wass and Calvin, the full-length album Indian Yard features a number of collaborations, including two names that might be familiar to Alaskans: Kachung of Bumua and Portugal the Man. Wass says the collaborations help keep playing with the band fresh.
Whatever we're working on, it's like it feels different from before. I like that. I like that about working with Nick. It's never like the same thing again and again. But what we do, we're bringing in these other people, and it's like we're always evolving and changing. So
Galanin says that normally the band would likely be planning for a tour with the release, but a global pandemic has halted most live performances and touring.
The industry has changed so much. It continually does, but, you know, all industries and all creative fields and stuff have been deeply impacted by COVID times. So, yeah, we're learning what it looks like as we go in a lot of ways. And
the album is scheduled to release April 30th. The single, Close the Distance, is available to stream on a number of platforms. In Anchorage, I'm Trip Krause.
Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy has declined to reappoint Lauren Jones of Juneau to the board that regulates the state's legal marijuana industry. Jones held the Marijuana Control Board public health seat since the board's inception in 2015 and most recently was chair. Dunleavy's office did not say why he wasn't reappointed. Jones's term ended on Monday. Board members are subject to legislative confirmation. One member has been serving pending confirmation since August 2019 and another since last March. Lawmakers did not meet last year to take up appointments. Dunleavy also has reappointed two other members to the five-person board. And Alaska and Canadian officials in British Columbia have announced that they have completed and will not continue data collection on three transboundary watersheds. The decision comes despite concerns from fishing and tribal interests that the effort does not go far enough. The work stemmed from concerns about possible impacts mining activity in Canada could have on waters across that cross into Alaska. A final report culminated 2 years of data collected from water sediment and fish tissue from three bodies of water. This is KTOO News.